Good morning. I'm so encouraged to see you guys just excited for today, in conversation, hanging out, connecting with each other. It's Sunday, and that's a good day, right? So today is the start of week two of Advent. And I don't know how many of you are like me, but I grew up going to church, and none of the churches that I was a part of actually talked about Advent. And it wasn't until becoming a part of NLCF that I even knew that this was a thing. And it has quickly become something that I value, participating in this time of year, because it offers the opportunity for us to be connected to the story of us, God's people, anticipating the coming of the Messiah. And how amazing is that? I mean, to think that we have this lineage for 2,000 plus years that we get to be tied into every day, but especially on these moments like Advent and Lent, just kind of taking us back to our roots. And at the same time, it draws us into the current story of us, God's people, where we are looking ahead and anticipating Jesus' second coming. So as we look ahead with anticipation, we look for Jesus to return, and it's going to be a time that ushers in complete and utter and total peace. And so if you haven't practiced Advent before, maybe don't know that there is an actual, like, calendar week to week that Advent focuses on. And so the second Sunday of Advent is about peace. And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. But why don't we go ahead and pray, and then we'll keep jumping in. All right. Father, we praise you for the church. We praise you for your Son, God, giving us reason to gather, to worship. Lord, I think about the song, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, and just how so much of those words are going to be resonating as we talk this morning. Lord, just thinking that our sad divisions, Lord, that they would cease. Lord, that we would see your kingdom come, that we would see peace on earth. Father, these are our desires. God, thank you for this season on the calendar of Advent where we can step back and step into your larger story. God, to see that this is something that you've been writing for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. God, something that you even had Isaiah, this prophet of thousands of years ago, anticipate and to proclaim to your people that peace is coming, your Son is coming. Father, would you teach us this morning? Give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray that these words will resonate and shake us and draw us to our knees in reverence and awe of you. We love you, God. I pray these things in your name. Amen. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So just as the Israelites were waiting for the Messiah, who was the anticipated one to save them, we await the arrival of the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, who has complete authority to command peace. This is the time of year where we send cards that say, peace on earth, and they have this beautiful dove on them, much like this one. We long for peace in our world because it is so heart-wrenchingly broken. Like many of you, I'm beside myself, not knowing what my hands can do to resolve the war in Ukraine that's been going on for 2 years now, to resolve the Syrian refugees fighting for their lives on land and at sea. This terrorism and fear that is taking heart captive the hearts of every nation. These earthquakes that are tearing down homes and people's livelihoods, and not just that, but taking people's security, stripping a people of anything that they've ever known. And of course, there is what feels like a daily news report about another shooting. We long for rest for the weary. Maybe even ourselves, heading into exams here, but we long to know of a day when we are untouched by cancer, financial struggle, and the prejudice that comes because of the different pigmentation in our flesh. How does this make any sense? I see all these things and I say, come, Lord Jesus. And we can take courage that, as Robbie talked about last week, that as followers of Jesus, thank the Lord, we live in a reality of a greater hope. That there is more at stake than our present circumstances. And so we need to live in a way that demonstrates that we, as a church, we are the hope of the world. But in a world where peace seems seemingly achieved by protecting borders and defending our territory, do we really see ourselves? Do we see our world moving closer to our desired peace on earth? Sometimes, as necessary as it is to anticipate Jesus' return, we feel like we are just waiting, like the Israelites, to see peace come. So the book of Romans, it talks about that with one man, sin entered the world. But when I think about it, when I think about Advent and this, just the excitement, the anticipation of preparing for Christmas, it is even more to say that with one baby, peace entered the world. So if you guys want to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, your apps, your Bible receptacle, or it's up here on the screen. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And then it goes on to describe how the shepherds saw Mary and Joseph and the baby. And it was all just as they had been told. And so Jesus grew up and he lived his life, and not necessarily on purpose, but he challenged the way that all the Romans and all the Gentiles and all the Jews had anticipated how he would look upon his arrival. He took their social norms. I mean, they were told, as I read in Isaiah, they were told that the government would rest on their Messiah's shoulders. But what he did is he took their social norms and he flipped them on their head. His mission really didn't happen the way that anybody and everybody thought that it would look like. But a component of the heart of all of his ministry and all of his care was the message of internal peace through the forgiveness of sins, salvation. Peace was known in Jesus. And as Jesus was anticipating his own departure, He gave us an even greater gift. I don't know about you guys, but it's hard for me to think about an even greater gift than Jesus, tangible in the flesh. But yeah, there is something even better. Reading in John 14. Jesus says, "The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world does. Don't let your hearts be troubled and don't be afraid." I just think, isn't that so appropriate? That Jesus has all of these titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And it's the Holy Spirit, the one who is with us on the regular to help us process things, teach us, remind us, go through our mess, work it all out. He's the counselor, right? Because that's what a counselor does. But I think that Jesus knew exactly what he was saying and who he was talking to when he said, "You need the counselor to help you work out the kind of peace that I have for you. Like, y'all need help. So I'm going to give you some help." Why? He says, "I don't give to you as the world gives." The world that he was offering this peace into already had this preconceived notion of what peace looked like, that it was these Roman empires and these troops kind of coming in and taking what was rightfully theirs. And so he said, "I don't give to you as the world gives. What I'm giving you is a gift that you aren't looking for and that you aren't going to understand without a little bit of help." So have you ever received a gift? You guys, have you ever received a gift unexpectedly from somebody that you didn't know all that well? Show of hands. Okay. And then, not only did you get a gift from somebody you don't really know, dun, 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 the gift is really nice, right? What's the first thing that you do in response? You what? You freak out. That's fair. You question it. You try to come up with a gift to give in return, right? Oh no, I got this gift. I gotta find something that's awesome to give them. But you don't do it out of gratitude because you didn't ask for this gift, nor do you do it out of friendship because, like I said, you don't really know the person that well, but because we don't want to feel guilty. I've been reading a bit of a daily reflection on Advent that describes the scenario a little bit like this. I think hopefully you guys can resonate with me, because when I read this, I was like, yes. It's kind of a little bit of a butt kicker. But it says, "We don't want to be indebted. A gift that seems to lay claim upon us, especially since it has come from someone we barely know. This is uncomfortable." Don't give me that stuff. I don't want that. It may well be, as Jesus says, more blessed to give than to receive, but it's more difficult to receive. Anybody else feel that way? I mean, watch how people blush when given a compliment. When we're given a compliment, what do we try to do? "Oh, thanks. No, I like your shoes." You know? So a little less than a year that Robbie and I had been dating, and we dated for a while, I'll be honest with you guys, his mom made me this sizable quilt and gave it to me for Christmas. Here's a picture of the quilt. Should we want? Yes, it's beautiful. So she gave me this quilt, and I was freaking out. I was like, "Ooh!" My mind immediately in that moment attached to that quilt was an invitation into her family, that she was willing to go through all the time and all the effort in order to make this beautiful gift, because in her mind it would always stay within the family. She might as well have just written it to Crystal, my already daughter-in-law. who will always be around my son and me. I love you. And so graciously, I received it. And as soon as we left their home, I was climbing the walls of his car. I was like, no, 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 I don't want this. And so he suggested, do you want me to just give it back to her? I mean, that's the logical response. If you're freaking out, I can just give back to her. And I was like, what? How dare you even suggest something like that? Because then she's going to hate me for rejecting her from being accepted into her family. No. So I had to figure out how to kind of give her this grand gesture to pay her back. And so that's the story of why Robbie and I are now married. Right? I'm just kidding. I love him. I realized that's not what the quote was actually saying, okay? But it took me a long time to get over the feeling of accepting that gift. So peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives. When peace entered the world, this baby, God with us, we witnessed a life that was willing to trust the care of his father. A life that was just chomping at the bit to forgive the most insurmountable of debts. And it's not as if Jesus didn't know what was coming. Kind of blindsided. Oh, what? No. No, there was peace knowing that he was in the middle of a story that was bigger than himself. And when Jesus left, promising his return and giving his presence of peace through the gift of the Holy Spirit, he offered us every opportunity to take and experience a peace that the world had never known. And we could do a whole series about what this peace looks like when we reflect on it and live it out. But the important thing today is that this gift is offered to be taken without guilt, without reciprocity. Because you can't do it. You can't build up enough brownie points in order to make it an equal exchange. You know, maybe we're cautious to pursue peace in the way of Christ because we're afraid that we won't be able to live up to it. But God's purpose in restoration, Jesus' coming and his crucifixion, was so that we would be restored to him. So that his creation would be restored to him because he loves us. But even though our hearts tell us that there are no strings attached, if we are to think about it, we might still feel like we need to earn something back. Because as followers of Jesus, we have it ingrained in our minds that it is better to give, more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I mentioned that daily reflection I've been reading. I want us all to hear this, okay? I'm going to read this to us. It's up here. Read along. And it's a little expressive, so I'm going to read a little slowly just so we can kind of catch every piece of what the author is trying to get us to catch. It says, "The Christmas story is not about how blessed it is to be givers, but how essential it is to see ourselves as receivers. Especially at Christmas, we prefer to think of ourselves as givers, capable people whose goodness motivates us to employ some of our power to benefit the less fortunate, which is a direct contradiction to the biblical account of the first Christmas. There we are portrayed not as the givers we wish we were, but as the receivers that we are." And so Luke and Matthew go through great lengths to demonstrate that we, not with our generosity, our competence, our capabilities, we had little to do with God's work in Jesus. God wanted to do something for us so strange, so utterly beyond the bounds of human imagination, so foreign to human projection that God had to resort to angels, pregnant virgins, and stars in the sky to get it done. Nothing that we could ever line up ourselves. And so we didn't think of it, understand it, or approve it. All we could do at Bethlehem was receive it. A gift from a God we hardly even knew. So if we step back from all of our thoughts and feelings on the matter and know that peace has been given to us for us to know and experience daily, even while the broken condition of the world is swirling around us, it's up to us if we will receive it. And so later today, tonight, during our 7:07 service, and I want to invite all of you guys to come to 130 Jackson around 7:45, 7:50, because we're going to be having baptisms tonight. And this is exactly what baptisms declare, that peace and salvation are things that we can't bring about ourselves, even when and if we try. Because we are broken by nature, and we will always insert our brokenness because we are pursuing peace based on a judgment of our own kind of measure. Peace on earth will only come in Christ. Jesus' coming has given us peace with God that cannot be undone. And God has purposed from the beginning to restore us to himself by his own plan and power. And so the prophecies of the Old Testament that are fulfilled in Christ's coming give us confidence that God is who he says he is and that God does what he says he will do. So in baptism, we humbly proclaim, God, the brokenness in my life, the wholeness I desire to have will only come through knowing you and being known by you. I need you. Be the master of my life because only your way will bring peace. The Prince of Peace is among us. Jesus has come. And I wish we would today see peace in every pocket of unrest that is around us. How could we not long for that? But we also know we have to live in the reality that the King is here. He is already broken through. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world does. And I acknowledge that giving has its place. But today we focus on receiving the greatest, unmatchable, free gift that is capable of filling us with a peace we never even knew we needed. We are so focused on being givers that we forget that we are first, all receivers. And that's the good news. It shouldn't make us uncomfortable. But for us to even see peace on earth as we desire, it will only come through those who know Jesus. And it's after we receive that God is able to do the work through us to bring peace. Maybe you've already been baptized. Maybe you know Jesus, have the Spirit. But that reality, that we are receivers first, it changes us to live that on a daily basis, that what Jesus is offering is something that is true and that we can grab hold of and live into on every single day, every minute. And after that, then we get to share that with those around us. We get to bring peace. The message of Advent proclaims that God's salvation consists of peace, reconciliation with God. Such reconciliation allows those who follow Jesus to know peace, even in the ambiguity of present times. Let's pray. God, we need to hear those words, especially when we look around us and see, where are you showing up? Where, our Prince of Peace, are you commanding peace in the midst of brokenness? God, I pray for the hearts of all of us. We are all sinners. Whether or not we are called by a new identity, Lord, you have taken us, you have inserted yourself in us, you have broken through in our own lives. Be that to the world, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.